Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than trying to sell your soul to Kevin Feige for the Avengers 4 trailer.
You know, I really like it better when we don't know these.
Yeah, I do too.
Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
And Tabitha.
Hello.
And I'm Mitch. And obviously this is, we are in the middle of Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah to those of you who are celebrating. I may or may not be drinking Manischewitz right now. I am drinking Manischewitz right now.
You know, I was kind of wondering what was in that glass. It looked like wine, but it's in a interesting
tumbler.
Yeah.
Receptacle.
So, fun fact.
It's a tumbler.
Okay, it's a tumbler, yeah. Mitch. Did you know it's a tumbler?
I did, actually. Okay. fun fact, my glasses that I would normally drink wine out of, over the course of like the last year, they've both broken.
Oh no! R.I.P. your wine glasses.
They weren't even real wine glasses to begin with. They were like stemmed.
I have good news for you. I have like 15 in my basement that are like on their way to the donation center. The donation center is now your home.
I don't need all 15 of them, but thank you.
So 14? Got it.
So, all right. Moving on past Manischewitz. So, Golden Globes nominees were announced today. And Black Panther kind of made history. It is the first superhero film actually nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
That's not the only thing that it got nominated for. It did also get nominated for Best Original Score for All the Stars. And I thought there was another one, but I don't see it in my list of nominations, so I may have deleted it, but whatever. But yeah. But still, awesome for them. It is weird, though, that it got nominated for Best Picture, but no nominees for actors, no nominees for director.
So was it like a, we have to nominate this, so we're PC? Or was it like, we actually want to nominate this because we want to nominate this? Is it like that thing where you always offer Meryl Streep an Oscar, even though she was in the movie for like 3 minutes? You're like, but she was there.
I didn't know that was a thing. The other nominees for Best Picture. So we've also got Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's kind of like a situation where it's like a combination of the not want for superhero and these kind of genre movies to be included when necessary. I mean, let's be honest, Oscar-winning Suicide Squad should never have gotten Best Picture, but...
It did win, though, didn't it?
It did. Something? For
makeup or costumes or something?
Which it shouldn't have even gotten that.
No.
But,
God, I can't believe we have to say that. Oscar winning.
Let's just pretend that we don't. For the sake of everyone.
DC really wants for us to, though. That's the thing.
I don't care. You know what I want, DC? A real good superhero movie, other than Wonder Woman. Okay, thanks, bye.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, there's like, they're recognizing that, hey, these movies do need to be recognized. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I'm not taking anything away from Black Panther. It was awesome. But I don't know. I do think that it's weird that, you know, in terms of like the big categories, that's the only one that it was nominated for and not anything else.
No, it's strange.
Well, it kind of goes with like back when was it Return of the King got nominated. Like they didn't nominate, you know, Fellowship of the Ring or Two Towers, and then all of a sudden you get to the third one and it's like, oh well, these actually have been pretty good, so maybe we should throw them a bone here and give them some nominations. And I don't even think that one ended up with, like, best actor, supporting actor. It was all, like,
tech,
you know,
stuff.
Best film, tech stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was like, ooh, we better do something here so that we don't look like giant douchebags or something. Like, it's, yeah. I kind of feel like it's like the Black Panther situation. Again, not that it wasn't a fabulous movie, because it was, but it's like, feel like it's kind of that situation. Like,
yeah,
we better do this or we're going to get
backlash.
Yeah.
Right. So, some other movies and TV shows that, just of other stuff that we've talked about, Mary Poppins Returns has been nominated for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is nominated for Best Motion Picture Animated. And you know what? There are also a couple others that we've talked about. The other nominees for that category, Incredibles 2, Isle of Dogs, Maria, and Ralph Breaks the Internet. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Emily Blunt has been nominated for Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, again, for Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
I feel like I'm stealing your Lin-Manuel Miranda desk for a second.
It's okay. Go right ahead. You can borrow it.
But he was nominated for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Also for Mary Poppins Returns. This, the last one I'm going to talk about, it's interesting. Thandie Newton for Westworld was nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role in a series, limited series, or motion picture made for television. Dear Lord, that's a lot of words.
Whoever announces that category is totally going to screw that up.
I did all right on it.
Maybe they'll call you.
They probably won't.
They probably won't.
There's always a hope.
But that is the only category that Westworld was nominated for.
Hmm.
Which I feel like for their first season, they got...
Yeah, they got a lot
a
more.
A lot, yeah. Which I can't speak, you know, certainly because I never saw the... I haven't seen the second season yet.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, that surprised me that was the only one.
Yeah, that is kind of random.
Maybe they thought they gave him enough
in the first
season. I'm like, you've had enough. You've had your turn.
Good job, Westworld.
A little pat on the head.
So, anyway, Golden Globes are, what, January 6th. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
We will find out what happens then. Sticking with movies, we did get a new trailer for Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get a chance to see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Tabitha, you want to go first?
No, go ahead. No. I'm compiling my brain.
Wow. Like, why is it not March? It looks awesome. I don't know. I really like the idea that it's kind of going to be... I mean, we're so sick of origin stories, just like flat origin stories, that I like that this is going to kind of be that... But with a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, that I appreciate. Just to be, you know, a different way for that to be told.
Yeah. I'm not for sure if they felt the need to explain it in the next trailer, but I'm kind of glad that they explained in this trailer why mm-hmm. Captain Marvel hit an old woman.
The old lady. I feel like they needed to. I feel like people were like, wait a minute. We're confused about what Captain Marvel stands for here. Elderly abuse or is it saving the planet? Like, we're confused. I'm really, really ready for this. I'm also cautiously optimistic, I think, because it is not really our typical first superhero introduction kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it is that origin story, but we're also getting something else. And I'm hopeful that they put that together the right way.
Right.
And it's not going to be like a cluster bunch. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With it being Marvel, careful there. That table just jump out at you.
It's the worst.
With it being Marvel, I feel like it'll be okay.
Yeah. If this was DC, I would have major struggles and be real upset.
Right. So.
But then I wouldn't be cautiously optimistic. I would just be cautious. Cautiously not paying money to go to the theater.
Maybe still just for the train wreck.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, it's an expensive train wreck these days.
It is. Especially, has MoviePass died yet?
I think so. Like, maybe. I haven't had a MoviePass email in a minute, and I was getting one like every 15 minutes there for a while that was like, hey, we're really sorry, this is the thing we're going to do. Hey, we tried this, it didn't work, this is the new thing we're going to do. Like, literally every like 15 minutes, they'd be like, MoviePass, and like, oh, go away.
And it did.
Just die already. God. Someone read MoviePass, it's last rites. Like,
bring in the priest.
It's time. Just let go. Let go and let God, MoviePass.
So, as awesome as the Captain Marvel trailer was, the trailer that we've all been chomping at the bit for... I've been saying that word, that phrase a lot.
Chomping at the bit?
Yeah. That's kind of been my thing lately.
You've said it to me at least twice this week.
Yeah.
Like, this week.
I know. I need to dial that back.
Maybe I'll like start scolding you every time you do it, like negative reinforcement.
Well, we all saw how well that worked with Pickett with Fair Enough.
Yeah,
now we all say it.
Yeah.
Now we all say it way more than Pickett.
Yeah. And nobody gets mooed.
Right, exactly.
We're shepherding him.
But anyway, so as it happens, I feel like every couple weeks these days, there's speculation of a new Avengers 4 trailer. Or not even a new Avengers 4 trailer, the first Avengers 4 trailer. There was speculation that we were going to finally get it Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday came and passed, and it did not happen. I mean, granted, there was that little thing about, you know, George H.W. Bush's funeral on yesterday. But yeah, so we still didn't get that. So, I read this article, and at this point, I almost agree with it. I don't think that Marvel even needs to release a trailer for Avengers 4.
At this point, no.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I want a trailer.
Yeah.
I want to know, I would even be happy with just knowing what the name of the movie is going to be.
Right? We still don't even know that, do we?
Right. But yeah, so I mean, like, at this point, and one thing that they said that I thought hit the nail on the head, whatever a potential Avengers 4 trailer is going to have is going to make people angry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
because it's either going to be too much information or not enough information. There's not going to be a happy medium that they can hit right. with this trailer.
Yeah. There's not going to be like that, you know, a sweet spot that everybody's going to be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want them to just drop this movie like a Beyonce album. Just like be like, surprise! like not even wait till like the release date. Just like a week before be like, nobody's mad now. Stop being like DC and be like, we're going to like... break our own news. Spoil our own spoiler.
But yeah, like, I don't know. I feel, though, if they did do that, how long would it be before the internet just implodes?
Probably not long.
Yeah. There would be pitchforks, I feel like.
Riots in the streets.
Torches. Angry mobs.
Yeah.
Angry mobs of geeks. Can you guys imagine what that would look like?
And it wouldn't be torches. It would be cell phones.
And lightsabers. And like Aquaman tridents instead of pitchforks. Okay, can we make this happen?
Yes. Marvel, if you're listening, don't even worry about it, bro. Just don't even worry about it.
We got you covered.
Sticking with Marvel, Matt, let's talk for a second about Shang-Chi.
So, Marvel is obviously starting to kind of give hints of what's coming after Avengers 4. According to Deadline, they are working on developing a Shang-Chi movie. It'll be the first Asian superhero movie. They've got David Callahan, a Chinese-American writer, set up to do the screenplay. He has some good credits to his name. He recently co-wrote the new Wonder Woman 1984, so which I know we haven't seen yet, but you know we know what Patty Jenkins did with the first one, and I think we can trust that what she and the group are going together, you know, could put together a solid.
And if he's trusted to write that sequel,
mm-hmm. right, then yeah, to go handle for something it, bro. Like this. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So basically, Shang-Chi is a martial artist who's also a superhero. He is known as the Master of Kung Fu in the Marvel Universe. He has been around since 1973. So he's not new. But they also. Deadline also noted that this isn't the first time that Marvel has talked about the Shang-Chi movie. They actually included this long ago in 2005 before the whole MCU even started. It was one of the properties that they pitched, you know, long ago and far away, which at that point, you know, included Captain America, Nick Fury, Black Panther, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Hawkeye, Cloak and Dagger, Power Pack, The Avengers, and Shang-Chi were part of that initial you know,
pitch,
which I like this too. The article mentions that Iron Man, which was actually the first MCU movie, mm-hmm. wasn't in that 2005, like, 10 movie pitch.
Yeah.
Hmm. So obviously plans change, hence why now we're getting, you know, we might be getting Shang-Chi now.
Which, when this news first broke, I was like, I had no idea who Shang-Chi was. Mm-mm. And then, even once I, you know, learned that he was, you know, he's master of Kung Fu, I was like, I've at least heard of that.
Right.
But even still, like, no knowledge of him whatsoever. It's not like Black Panther where it's like, I know who he is. Do I know all the, you know, intricate, right. you know, like, things about him? No, but yeah, Shang-Chi, no idea. Also, it still makes me sad that, like, you know, a Hawkeye movie was pitched and then still never happened. It's okay.
Maybe it's coming. We're getting Shang-Chi from the 70s. Just, Hawkeye will have his day in the sun.
We all know that he won't.
I'm trying to make you happy.
We all know that he won't.
Why won't you let me make you happy?
I don't have an answer for that. What might make me happy, let's talk about a live-action Cruella de Vil movie.
This is going to make you happy because Emma Stone.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so Disney's going back to the Dalmatians, but they're not focusing on the puppies.
Are we?
What is wrong with you?
Wow.
Drink your beverage.
Did he tip his head too, like a little off to the side?
I don't know, but I think his ear flopped up on the left. Good Lord, man. How come it's when I start talking? You never do this to him. I start talking and you make some kind of weird thing. It's always me.
It's not always you.
It's always me.
Because I know that I can get a good reaction out of you.
It's just me looking at you like you're the worst. Like, literally ever.
And also, sometimes I do it, like, in hopes that you'll shame me.
What is it with you? Why are you such a masochist? Like, why do you want the shames? I'm gonna not shame you on purpose, no.
I mean, I can't say anything because I do the same.
It's all coming together.
Devious plan. So don't mind my tented fingers.
So, Cruella.
Can I talk about Disney?
Yes.
You too? Rude. All right. Disney's going back to the Dalmatians, but they're focusing this time on Cruella de Vil, who will be portrayed by none other than Emma Stone. Yes, please, and thank you. And now we have a director. Craig Gillespie is now certainly a project to direct. It's just going to be called Cruella. The end. I've seen a lot of people on the internet talking backlash about how we've already had a live-action Disney movie, like the Glenn Close, whatever. Yeah. But that was literally like a remake of the animated. Right.
Yeah.
This is a backstory. This is Cruella's origin story. Ooh, grammar.
But not really, though.
I mean, sort of.
But it's...
It's more that than focusing on the... puppy aspect of things.
Here's where I'm getting at, though. Like, in, you know, 101 Dalmatians, that takes place in, what, like the 50s, 60s, something like that? This backstory is taking place in the 80s.
Right. Well, I don't think they ever tell you, like, what year the...
No, the actual, like...
Cartoon
takes place.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it because of the cars and the costume.
And that's more where I'm at. Yeah, just because it looks that way.
It takes place in London. They're fashionable there, okay? No.
I mean, I'll let you have that one.
Thank you. They're not sure if it's going to the Disney streaming service, or Disney Plus, whatever Disney, or if it's going to be, like, a theatrical event.
Emma Stone.
It's going to the theater. Like,
yeah.
Come on. That's not, like, Disney Plus, I get it, you got this, but, like, I think that's not going straight to DVD.
Like, no,
I don't think that's how that's going to work. No release date yet, obviously. Most of the things that I looked at said probably not until at least 2020.
Let's go ahead and get into gut reaction. Matt, we're going to start with you and Blade Runner.
So, we are getting more Blade Runner. I don't have a joke there or something. Anyway, I was going to try and make something up, but I got nothing. So, Adult Swim is going to be working with the anime service Crunchyroll. And it's going to be entitled Blade Runner Black Lotus. It's going to take place before the movie sequel, but still follow the same kind of inspiration that the 2049 had. There's going to be 13 half-hour episodes. So the animation studio that's going to be working on it is the same company that worked on the movie prequel Blade Runner Blackout 2022. And they're also doing the new Netflix series Ultraman. So, you know, we had heard after, 2049 and we got this Blackout 2020 that there was going to be more expansion into the Blade Runner universe. So this just kind of follows up with, you know, what we had heard was coming, that they are actually going to be expanding and moving forward with some of the stuff. So, we'll see how it goes. Still haven't seen the sequel. I absolutely freaking love the original. I don't know.
So, gut reaction on this.
Oh, that's what we were doing, gut reaction. Wow. Where am I? What day is it?
It's Thursday.
This is
Mitch's house.
It is, isn't it? All right. Gut reaction. I'm going to go thumb sideways.
Real talk, when I was reading over this story, I read Blade Runner. Thought Tron, and when I thought Tron, I was like, not necessarily for me, but I bet it'd be cool graphics, thumbs up. And then I got to thinking about, wait, is Blade Runner. So nothing particularly against Blade Runner, but I was really excited for Tron. So it's going thumbs sideways, but that's my bad.
I mean, my knowledge of this sticks to the original movie, so I'm also going thumbs sideways, because yeah, maybe.
So, Popeye is coming back. He is, on December 11th, Warner Archive Collection is going to include Popeye the Sailor, the 1940s, Volume 1. It's a remastered high-definition collection of Popeye's first 14 cartoons.
Mm.
He also has a modern-day reboot in the form of animated shorts. It's on YouTube. This new Popeye is more youthful and environmentally conscious. And it consists of 25 two-minute episodes.
Okay.
And then also... Actually, no, that's the only thing. The only other thing to note about this is Popeye is turning 90 next year. So,
looks pretty good for 90.
Right? It's that spinach.
It is.
That was both of you.
I mean, you really thought about doing the laugh, but I couldn't pull it off, so I didn't.
You'd have to leave. Now you have to leave.
It's my house.
Whose fault is that?
Thumbs up for Popeye, Tabitha.
Thumbs up for Popeye. I had a weird olive oil thing when I was a kid, so not like that. Why do you always gotta make it like that? Like, I thought she was fun.
Matt.
God.
That was slick.
Where's Lydia when you need her? Good lord.
Yes. Popeye, thumbs up.
So, Tabitha, let's talk Mira, Rural Detective.
Disney has started production on its first television series inspired by the culture and customs of India, called Mira, Royal Detective. The animated series is going to be set for preschoolers, set in the fictional Indian-inspired land of Jalpur. The protagonist is a courageous and resourceful girl called Mira, who saves the kingdom's young prince and is appointed Royal Detective. I think this is cute, and I'm really excited for it. They've announced a voice cast, none of which I really recognized, just to be super real with you. I mean, I recognize the shows they're from, Designated Survivor, Mindy Project, New Girl, Good Place, Slumdog Millionaire.
Cal Penn, he was Harold and or Kumar. I always get them.
I can't ever remember which one.
I think
it was
Kumar.
I mean, that would make sense, since this show is...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's set to air on Disney Junior, and will come out in 2020. Thumbs, enthusiastically thumbs. I mean, we have things from all around the world, but I think this is something that we didn't have.
Matt.
Yeah, I would agree. Sounds like a really cool idea. I'm going to go thumbs up.
Yeah, sounds cool to me. Thumbs up. Matt, both of your stories for Gut Reaction are kind of along the same deal. Let's talk Funimation and Hulu.
They are. Which is funny because they do kind of relate to each other just based on the fact that they both relate to Crunchyroll. So Funimation had a deal with Crunchyroll for their streaming of anime shows. That has come to an end, and Funimation now has a deal starting in 2019 with Hulu. So Hulu's going to be getting, for all intents and purposes, what it sounds like is like all of the Funimation anime titles that they have. They're aiming for at least 20 new seasons of anime per year through simulcasts and dubbed content that will also be added in. So Hulu is going to be your place to go, at least here in the States, for the majority of your anime coming up, which I think is cool just for the fact that Hulu has such a big presence and Crunchyroll. I mean, I knew what it was, but I didn't really know what they had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this can only be good news for Hulu. I'm going to go thumbs up because it's going to give, you know, some pretty solid anime a wider audience that some of it really probably deserves.
Yeah, I'll give this a thumbs up. Anime, not typically my bag, but yeah, it's somebody's, and that's going to be a lot of stuff to watch. So, Tabitha.
I'm going to thumb sideways because now I have to wade through extra anime to get to the things I actually want to watch on my Hulu guide. Because that's already a struggle. There's always, like, Korean anime and, like, these, like, K-pop TV shows, and I'm just like, how do I not? So, thumb sideways.
For more button pushing.
I'm lazy.
So, Game of Thrones, in anticipation of their final season, has released a line of single malt scotch whiskey that, honors, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the different houses of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So it's range in price between $29.99 and $149.99.
Yikes.
Yeah. And that comes 2 years after they put out 1999 red wine from California's Central Coast. If they were more along the same line, like more like concise in their pricing, I might give this more of a thumbs up, but mm-hmm. I'm giving this a thumb sideways because I'm cheap and I'm not going to pay $150 for anything that I just consume. Tabitha.
I'm going thumb sideways. I get that it's a marketing thing and like the price point is all over the place. And from what I understand, it's just the same booze, but in a different bottle. Basically, there's maybe one thing.
Like the packaging is different.
Like the packaging is different, but I think the actual contents of the bottle are the same. So it's just that there's different companies taking it. It's not like they're making a specific thing to put in the bottle. You're literally paying for the bottle. So you're getting the booze at the price that the booze would be. Just a different bottle. So if you wanted the bottle, just wait till somebody who doesn't want the bottle drinks it. And then get the bottle. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. However, I did buy the Game of Thrones wine, and it was actually really tasty. But it was made for that purpose. So, thumbs sideways.
Matt.
I'm going to go thumbs down just because, yeah, it's a marketing ploy. And, yeah, if the alcohol is the same and it's just the different packaging, I don't know. I've always had an issue when they do that, like, repackage stuff just with... You know, it's like when they re-release a book that's been made into a movie with the movie title or the movie poster cover. Yeah, it kind of makes me twitch.
Yeah, like, it just did make me twitch. Yeah.
So I'm going to go thumbs down. The same idea.
Tabitha, let's talk Luke Skywalker's lightsaber.
Let's talk about this. How come it's always the month of December when things go on auction that I want for Christmas and no one ever buys them for me?
Because they're hella expensive?
Well, make more money and buy me nice things. No? Okay. According to Fortune, Hollywood has auctioned or is putting Luke Skywalker's original lightsaber from the film up for auction. The prediction is that it will come in at $150,000. There's also a TIE fighter helmet that is estimated around $200,000, in case you had a little extra cash to spend. It's obviously from A New Hope. I looked to see what the like the auction wait list was, and there's an ungodly amount of like potential bidders and things like that on there. So prob's not going to happen. But I mean, obviously it's not going to happen for me. I don't have $150,000 just chilling. But the competition is going to be fierce. I'm going thumbs up. I really enjoy when they auction off things like this for movies. But the like the museum expert inside of me that lives and breathes wants things like this to be kept like out of the public. But still, thumbs up.
Matt.
I don't know. I love when they auction stuff off like this. I don't know. I'm going to go thumb sideways just because they do sometimes fetch like absurd prices mm-hmm. for some of this stuff. But it is. It's original. It's pretty cool. But who... Yeah, the people that spend money on this stuff, I don't know. Yeah, thumb sideways.
I'm also going thumb sideways. What gets me about this whole thing, why is the TIE fighter helmet expected to bring in more than Luke Skywalker's lightsaber?
Size, collectability, breakability? Maybe...
Luke Skywalker's
lightsaber. I hear what you're saying, but I don't have an answer for your question.
That's fair. Last thing for gut reaction. So Taco Bell is releasing a clothing line for the holidays. And the folks at home aren't going to get to see this, but I do have the pictures pulled up so you guys can see. We've got holiday sweaters. We've got onesies. We've got a hot sauce pillow.
Okay, I kind of want the pillow.
I definitely want the pillow.
T-shirts, socks, all that stuff. But yes, I don't Taco Bell. I don't think I've ever actually had a meal at Taco Bell. But I'm all over this.
Who are you?
I don't know.
How old are you? How long have you lived in America?
Can I
see your immigration papers?
How do you avoid that?
Where do you go when you're drunk at 2 a.m.?
Not Taco Bell. And besides, these days, if I'm drunk at 2 a.m., I'm still like home.
How old are you?
Really, Grandpa?
Oh, it's true.
Anyway, thumbs up on the Taco Bell. And you're right, I want that pillow.
Thumbs up on the pillow. I just want the pillow. And maybe the onesie.
Matt.
I'm just going to go thumbs up before I say something that's getting another shame.
Well, now you have to say it.
No.
If I promise not to shame you.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Take the bell!
Nope.
Oh, take the bell about the taco. Never mind. What's this? What is it?
Feel free.
I feel like some of those pajamas and onesies are going to be kind of hot. Maybe fire level.
I'm really glad you had the bell right now. / sad. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel like she still might reach for it and I might get shamed anyways.
Yeah, yes. If she were to reach for it, she might actually accidentally knock that down. And...
Yeah, I'm not trying to cause a mess here. That's really rude.
But yeah, that joke was pretty saucy, so.
You know, sometimes I miss that we're not filming for moments like that, so I can play it back and look and see how my face looks when you make comments like that.
So, we got a little bit of Lionforge news to talk about. So, Upgrade Soul has been named one of the Library Journal's best of 2018 books. Also, it's shown up on Publishers Weekly's Best Books of 2018 back in October. And also on Amazon, it's been named one of the year's best graphic novels.
Cool.
So,
good for them.
Yeah. And you know, we got a chance to read that, and deservedly so.
Absolutely.
It was really, really good. So... But props to Lionforge as well as Ezra Clayton Daniels, who is the author of Upgrade Soul. So, Tabitha, let's talk real quick about SpongeBob.
Oh, God. I never thought you'd say that to me. Just be super real with you.
It's your own fault.
I know. I don't know what I've done to myself. Over 300,000 people have signed a petition to have the NFL SpongeBob song performed at the Super Bowl. I said that out of order, but you guys know what I mean. I think it was Monday, maybe? Last Monday?
Last Monday,
the creator of SpongeBob, Steven Hillenburg, passed away. Someone came up with the idea that the best way to honor him was to have the song where SpongeBob plays at the halftime show of the Super Bowl that actually happened at Super Bowl 53. So,
real quick, as of this moment,
okay,
and the petition's on change.org, mm-hmm, as of this moment, it has 834,772 people.
Wow.
74 people now. Five.
Are you just gonna keep doing that while I'm talking?
I'm putting the phone down.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So anyway, the version of Sweet Victory that aired on the SpongeBob episode was performed by some random man named David Isley. He probably won't be performing because Maroon 5 is already gonna be there, which, honestly, I'd almost rather have SpongeBob. Adam Levine's voice makes me want to gouge out my own ears. But the internet has spoken. They'd rather have SpongeBob than Maroon 5, and I love that.
Like, I almost wonder if Maroon 5 would, like, cover that song.
He's got the voice for it. Zing!
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, this is one of those, like, petitions that won't go anywhere from the beginning.
No.
Like, yeah, we're not going to see this.
It's just something for the internet to do for a while.
I mean, for God's sakes, if it wasn't, I don't think it was even a petition, but if they're going to have the Super Bowl in friggin' San Francisco and won't even let Metallica play the halftime show, there's no way in hell that SpongeBob is going to be able to play the halftime show, no matter where it is.
I like that we're talking about SpongeBob like he's like a real person. We can call and be like, "Dear SpongeBob, can you come up from Bikini Bottom and play the Super Bowl halftime show? We promise to let you stand under a shower while you're doing it so you don't dry out because you're a sponge."
I mean, have you ever seen the, was it the man on the street or the people on the street? I don't know, whoever did that, one of the late night talk show hosts. Sure. They went around and did that. And it was like one of the few that I've seen. But he went on the street and he asked people, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? And more people answered that correctly than who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Exactly.
Answer's the same either way.
It might be right now, but kind of the same color.
SpongeBob orange pants. Face, hair.
Guys, we're not prepared to get into a Twitter war with the president. I'm just saying.
I don't know. We might be.
Who's going to be up at 3 a.m. tweeting back to him, though?
I'm going to need another bottle of this.
I'm going to need some coffee. Like a lot of it. 3 a.m.'s best my bedtime.
So, Matt, let's talk Guillermo del Toro and Pinocchio.
So, we kind of had some news that this was going to happen previously. Mm-hmm. But Guillermo del Toro is doing a Pinocchio movie, stop-motion Pinocchio movie for Netflix. Which, again, the way that he visually works, I think, is going to be phenomenal. But he has said recently in an interview that this will not be a fun for all ages type of film. So it's not going to be Pinocchio for all the family. He told The Hollywood Reporter that, like he did with Pan's Labyrinth, he's going to add in a historical allegory. Mm-hmm. So this is going to have reference to 1930s era Italy and the totalitarianism that was going on there. Yeah, try that. I can't even say it one time fast, more or less three. But basically, like, the quote from him is, "Pinocchio during the rise of Mussolini, do the math. A puppet during the rise of fascism, yes, it is." Again, you know, I'm still, like, 100% on board with this because visually, mm-hmm, it's gonna be incredible. So I don't see this, even with this non-family friendly version, affecting like the reception it's going to get really in any way.
I mean, how many of Del Toro's movies have been super family friendly too?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, I wouldn't take my kids for Pan's Labyrinth. Like.
Yeah, but how many people? And it's going to be kind of like, it's going to be similar to the whole, you know, Deadpool situation. Yeah. Oh, it's a superhero. Oh, it's a Pinocchio movie. Who cares that it's rated R? It's Pinocchio. All right, so a comic book store in Springfield, Missouri, recently made a little bit of news. It's kind of an issue for a lot of different comic book stores. People who will subscribe to, you know, have a bunch of different comics in their pull list and then just disappear off the face of the earth. Because the comic book stores, they will hold those comic books for that person. Essentially, you know, holding on to money and, you know, like profits and stuff. So, Springfield's Comic Cave, like I said, in Springfield, Missouri, had like over $1,000 worth of product that's just sitting there not being bought. He kind of started falling on harder times and everything, and that made one of the patrons of the comic book shop start a GoFundMe page called hashtag Save the Cave. It has... The original goal was for $5,000, and they met that in a day and a half.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. So, just like a quick kind of cool story of like, hey, this is what happens when people do good things.
Yeah.
Something good happened on the internet today, guys. Right.
We should all pat ourselves on the back.
Did we do that?
I didn't. So. All right. We're going to do one more story. Do you guys want to talk about Soulja Boy maybe bootlegging some video games? Rudy Giuliani getting into a fight with Twitter? Or Tumblr getting rid of porn?
I feel like that one's more us. That just feels like home.
Is that an agreement, Matt?
Yeah.
All right.
I can't disagree, really, so.
So, here's the thing, though. So, as of December 17th, Tumblr is getting rid of porn altogether. Here's the thing, though. The algorithm that they have set up, because as of right now, posts that, as of the 17th, are going to get removed are being flagged. So the people who are uploading these things know, hey, you're not going to be able to do this for much longer. Some of these things that are getting flagged are not porn, like, in the least. Uh-oh. Yeah. Things such as a post about the history of Milli Vanilli.
Which sounds way worse than porn.
I mean, that one's just lip service.
Girl, you know it's true.
Well, that was amazing. Come on.
Oh.
Wow. Like, I need like a reverse shame bell, like when you actually say something funny. Then like I'm like, good job, guys. Like a different sound.
I got nothing. I'll work on it.
Thank you. I would appreciate it.
Does that take a shame off?
No. But it gives
I'm not going to work on it.
What if it took half a shame? I could make that deal. I feel like that's a lot of calculations.
That's for a lot of calculations.
But you don't have to do it. Millennia does.
Before we left the studio, though, Pickett had, he called it what, the fame bell?
The fame bell.
Yeah. Did. Pickett forgot my fame bell. Well, I'm going to need a new label.
But anyway, other things that aren't porn that are getting flagged, gift set of She-Ra, and some Star Trek meme, among a lot of other things. One thing in particular that has been flagged, again, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry you can't actually see it, but this post that has a drawing of Garfield has been flagged.
Okay. Because it looks like a butt?
Because it's a cat.
Wow. Really?
I...
Really?
What?
It's not even shaved.
Can I go home?
But here's... But here's the thing. Like, I understand it to a certain extent, what Tumblr's trying to do. They do have, you know, like... It's been a known issue that they have problems, not only with, like, you know, people who are in support of Nazis and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You also got some issues with child pornography. Mm-hmm. I understand it, but right. at the same time...
Like, fix your algorithm.
Fix your algorithm. But also, like, Tumblr is kind of known for porn at this point.
Here's the thing, though. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I thought Tumblr was, like, where people went for, like... good wholesome fun about good wholesome things, like housewives looking for fun things to put as their computer backgrounds in their kitchens. Like, I thought that's what Tumblr was for. I didn't know.
I think there are like two different kinds of Tumblr. There's that.
And dark Tumblr?
And dark Tumblr. But yeah, like... I was kind of reminded when I was, like, reading about all this kind of stuff with Tumblr. Like, I don't know if either one of you watched Scrubs.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Okay. So, there is one episode. I don't even really remember the premise of the episode, but they were talking about, I think they were talking about pornography in the internet and whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of the doctors said that, you know, they could remove all the porn from the internet and there'd be one website left. And it would be called Bring Back the Porn. And I feel like this is the case with Tumblr now.
I mean, I get why they're doing it, because it's... I mean, you don't have to, like, be of an age to be on Tumblr. Right. I haven't missed that, too, have I? No? Okay. Well, I mean, I get why they're doing it, but they need to fix their algorithm. I mean, what did poor Garfield ever do to anybody? Watch
maybe
what you
ate
say.
Ate the lasagna.
I was going to say, maybe he just got flagged on a Monday.
Oh my god. Oh my god. I can't with either of you.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, can I go home now? I'm like over you. A lot.
So that's all the time that we have for this episode of The Geek Awakens. We'll be back next week, but in the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, even though we've missed the last couple of weeks, Matt and I should be back on Monday to cover the season finale of Doctor Who in The Geek Awakens Presents Traveling Universe. Finally, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody, say bye.
Bye. Bye.